Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Well, hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. And if you're new here, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you so much to all the amazing listeners that come back each week to listen. It truly means a lot to me. And if you missed any episodes, you'll find them all on your favorite podcast platform, or you can listen on our website at roaminyourhome.com/podcast. And for anyone listening for the first time, I'm Jamie from Roam in Your Home, and my husband Randy and I have been full-time RVers since 2017, and you can go back to episode 12 to hear our story. And the goal of this podcast is to give people a glimpse of RV life and hear from real full-time RVers that are living the dream. We pull back the curtain and ask all the questions and get all the answers of what we wish we knew before we started full-time RVing. My goal is to share these real-life conversations with you each week so that you can get the information that you need to be able to roam in your home too. Today, you are going to love my conversation with Jason and Jen from No Sticks, No Bricks. They're both retired veterans with 45 combined years of service. That is so impressive. I loved hearing their amazing love story of meeting in the military and how many RVs they've had over the years. I was shocked at the number, and I think you'll be too. They have tons of experience to share, and I learned so much from them. If you follow them, you know they are hilarious. And if you don't follow them, go after this episode and follow. You won't regret it. You will love this episode of part one of their conversation, and be sure to come back next week for part two. You won't want to miss it. So I won't make you wait any longer. Please help me give a warm welcome to Jason and Jen.
Hi, Jason and Jen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us. We sure appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're here. I have been really looking forward to this all day because you guys are so much fun on Instagram. I can always count on you for my daily laugh. So I know this is going to be a good conversation.
Laughter really is the best medicine. We truly believe that.
It sure is. And you guys are so good at it. Oh my gosh. Every time I see your posts, I'm cracking up. They're so good.
Well, we appreciate that.
I just subscribed to your YouTube too. I didn't even know that you had a YouTube, so I'm excited to dive into your videos too. I'm sure they're awesome too.
Yeah, that's probably our main platform. We have a lot of fun creating videos and editing videos and being silly, you know, and just, it's a good time.
Oh, that's so good. I just discovered our Road Less Traveled, and I saw that you guys just made a video with them, so that's cool.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
That one was hard to make because we were laughing so hard. It was so hard to film and edit because it was just laughter, laughter, laughter. But it was a blast. We love those guys. They're good friends of ours.
Oh, good. I can't wait to watch it. I just found it today and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to watch it. So that's good. Well, I can't wait to learn more about you and share all your experiences with our listeners. I want to find out, how long have you guys been on the road?
We actually hit 3 years this month in about another week or so.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we've been full-timing almost 3 years, but now we've been RVing together for over 25 years. We're currently on our 7th RV in the last 25 plus years. So,
oh my gosh, you said 7?
Yeah, this is number 7.
Oh my gosh, that is incredible. Oh, I can't wait to hear all about what they are and what you have now. First, I want to find out who is in the RV with you.
So, it's me and Jen and our 3 dogs.
Yep.
That's what I wanted to talk about. So, I saw you have a yellow lab.
Yep, the big baby Axel.
Yeah.
We have a yellow lab too. Oh, that's so awesome. And then, what are your other dogs?
We got a Dachshund, and then we got like a little mutt. She's a Yorkie Pomeranian pug mix.
Oh my gosh, what a great combo.
6.9 pounds of fury, that's what we call her.
Oh, how fun. I'm such a dog lover, so that's awesome. Are your dogs in your YouTube videos?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Axel especially, because if we're filming outside, he usually spends his time outside. Because as you know, a yellow lab, they like to leave their yellow locks of love all over the RV.
Oh, yeah.
So he spends a lot of time outside.
Yes, our dog's name's Cooper, and I always joke around, I can't believe he still has hair. He should be bald by now, because he sheds another Cooper every day. I don't know how they do it.
I don't either. It's unbelievable.
And so tell me, what made you guys decide to do this full-time RV life?
So we're both retired Air Force. We retired from active duty in 2014.
Well, first of all, thank you both for your service. I think that is amazing.
Yes, ma'am. Our pleasure, and thank you. So at any rate, we retired from active duty in 2014 out of Germany. We were stationed in Germany at the time, and we moved back to Alaska, and we had been planning the retirement, so we had already purchased property. So we built this extravagant house on 10 acres and a lake, and I mean, it was just an amazing piece of property. And our kids were still fairly young at the time, so then we worked in the civilian sector while our kids went to the same schools for another 7 years, and then they both grew up and graduated and left, and here we are now with our big old house and property and no more kids in it. And the only reason to work was to keep the house, because the house payment was so high. So it was either that or sell everything, retire at 48 years old, and live off our military retirement check. So that's what we did.
Oh, that's so smart.
Yeah, it's nice being young and retired at the same time. It allows us to do a lot more on the road.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that's so awesome. I was just reading about your service and combined 45 years of service, right?
That's correct. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, so impressive.
Yeah. It went by fast, though, believe it or not. It seems like we were just in.
Wow. Now, did you guys meet prior to serving, or did you guys meet in the military?
We met in the military. We met in Alaska at a party.
Yeah. Aww. It was like 50 below zero, you know. Yeah. You got to get close and comfortable when it's that cold. Yeah. So.
A friend of mine liked one of his roommates, and so she was going over there, and that's where we met.
Yeah. The rest is history.
Oh, my gosh. What an awesome love story. That's so great. And so how long ago was that?
Oh, that was in 1997, the very beginning of 1997. So yeah, it's been a minute. We just went on we just celebrated our 25th year anniversary by going on our first cruise ever. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's wonderful. 25 years. That's a big milestone. That's so great.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about your current RV. And if you guys wouldn't mind sharing some of your past RVs, I'd love to hear all about it.
Absolutely. So currently we're living in a 2021 Grand Design Momentum 397 toy hauler, because it's a fifth wheel. It's 44 foot long. We have a Harley that we put in the back of the garage. The last 12 foot of it is garage. And
nice.
Then we also we tow it with a F450, and then Jennifer drives a Jeep behind me on travel days. So we come into RV parks pretty strong.
We get a lot of
stuff. That's so cool.
Yeah. Sometimes we think we have too much stuff, so. Yeah, but yeah, this is actually our second toy hauler. The RV before this that we had up in Alaska was a Raptor. We had a Raptor toy hauler. But our first RV is really kind of what set the things in motion. We, like most people, started camping by tent camping. You know, that's what we did. Tent camping, and then we decided, you know what, it's time to get an RV. So we bought a 1968 truck camper. It was 8 foot long, and it had an ice box in it. It didn't even have a refrigerator. And
wow.
So we were in Alaska. We would have to buy blocks of ice for the weekends. Of course, we were weekend warriors back then because we were working. But, you know, it was Alaska, so you buy a block of ice in June, and it's good till like September.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then we had another truck camper after that, a little bit bigger one. And then since then, it's been all fifth wheels. So yeah, number seven.
Oh my gosh. And so when you guys started with the truck camper, what made you guys decide to do that? Just to have, you know, some things to do on the weekends and be able to go and spend some time outdoors? Or did you know anybody who had something like that? And
yeah, some of our friends had campers at the time. We were really big into snowmobiling at the time and four-wheeling. So most of the time on weekends, it was, you know, go out camping, go four-wheeling, go snowmobiling, whatever the case may be. And then we were doing a lot of tent camping doing that. But then Jennifer got pregnant with our daughter, and she wasn't going to be sleeping on the ground anymore.
Right.
So that kind of pushed us to the camper, and then we were like, well, we kind of, this is kind of nice. We haven't looked back since.
Oh, that's so good that you guys really started out, you know, with the tent and knowing that you love to be outdoors. And then, yes, when you get all of the comforts of a RV, it definitely changes things. So that's so cool. And then when you guys started thinking about selling the home and doing the full-time RV thing, did you look for a new RV or did you already have a fifth wheel at that time?
So we already had the Raptor at that time. We actually prepped for almost 3 years. So our daughter graduated high school, left for college, and our son was not graduating for about 2 years later. So that really started getting the wheels turning when she graduated, and we knew that, you know, his graduation was coming up in a couple of years. So we just started prepping then. And our Raptor was a 2009, so it was a little bit older. It didn't have quite all the creature comforts that the newer RVs do. So we knew that we were going to get something new. So yeah, we started watching YouTube videos and watching all the full timers that were pumping videos out, and basically came across Changing Lanes, and that's kind of how we came upon the Momentum at the time.
Yes, I'm familiar with them too. And so do you have the same floor plan?
Yeah, well, not anymore. So Chad and Tara, they had a 397, and now they've got the 410, the one that they helped design for Grand Design. But
I totally forgot about
that.
Yeah,
at the time they did. Yeah, it was the 397, and then Jarhead and Gender from Jarhead and Gender's Journey had a 397, so we used to watch their videos. So now we're all friends. Like, we've met all these people on the road since we left. It's pretty cool when you watch people's videos and then like a year later you actually meet up and become friends with them. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's so awesome. And I love that you already knew, like, from seeing their videos that you really loved the floor plan. And then when you actually decided to get your Momentum, did you go and like order it, or were you able to walk through it before you bought it?
Well, so we were in Alaska, and so there wasn't really any of them up there that we could go walk through. But I was visiting a friend of mine in Missouri, and there was a dealership that had one. So I went and was able to actually walk through it and look at it. And so then once I knew everything and took video for Jason and pictures, and we decided that we were going to shop around and find if he'd give us the best deal. Because we didn't buy it in Alaska. We bought it in the Lower 48.
Yeah, we had the luxury of knowing that we were going to be driving down to the Lower 48 from Alaska to pick up our new RV. So we could basically shop anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's awesome.
Because our plan was to sell the Raptor in Alaska and then just put everything in a U-Haul and tow it down and pick up our new RV. And that's exactly what we did. So that's how we got the best deal, basically.
Oh, that's so nice to have the luxury of shopping around. And Jen, when you actually went in and saw the RV for the first time, I know you guys were familiar with the YouTube, but was it exactly what you thought walking in, or was it different seeing it in person?
I mean, I thought it was different. We had really never had like a new rig. Mm-mm. Just we've always bought, you know, used or whatever. So it was different. It was nice to put your hands on things to see actually how much space it was. So it was a lot bigger than what it was in the video.
Oh, good.
A lot taller.
A lot taller, yeah.
I'll tell you what, when we picked it up, the day we picked it up, I was like, holy cow, this thing is tall. I just wasn't expecting it to be that tall. It was so much taller than a Raptor.
Oh, good to know.
And, you know, because we weren't sure. I mean, you know, we're ordering it and we're not there to actually look at it every day or get updates or go through one together, but I liked it, and so we were pretty sold on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good, because, yeah, when we were looking at our first fifth wheel, we were looking again on YouTube, and we saw so many floor plans following people that, you know, we absolutely loved the floor plan on YouTube, but then when we walked inside, we were like, oh, we don't like it at all. I mean, it wasn't even anything like we thought. And so kind of ironically, the one that we were like, eh, this is kind of okay on the list, we walked in, we're like, this is it. This is awesome. So it was definitely different seeing in person, but I'm so glad that you actually got to see it before you bought it, and you obviously loved it. So
yeah, oh yeah. And we actually had like an Excel spreadsheet of like our top 10 RVs that we had it narrowed down to with like all the pros and cons.
Right.
And then finally, originally we were going to go with the DRV, actually. Then we ended up flipping over to the Momentum.
You sound just like me. I had the same exact thing, the pros and cons and the wish list. And I was comparing them all and didn't want to, you know, make a mistake. And oh, that's so good.
Yeah, because we had like the must-haves compared to like, you know, the wants. Like, what are the things we must have compared to what we want? So
yeah, and the Momentum, exactly. They've got like the biggest tank size out of all the different fifth wheels that we looked at. And we like to boondock a lot. When we lived in Alaska, Alaska, we never stayed at RV parks. We always boondocked everywhere we went. Barely stayed in RV parks. But so, you know, the tank size for gray water, black water, that was important to us, fresh water. So yeah, and these ones got huge, huge tanks.
Oh, good. I didn't even know that. That's a good thing to think about when shopping for an RV for sure. And so what are some things now that you are so familiar with all the different RVs and your past experience and the Raptor compared to the Momentum, what are three things that you absolutely love about this RV that you definitely want if you were going to upgrade to a different RV that you would want to have in the next one?
The three things that we love, one is we opted for the full body paint.
Nice.
So we didn't have to deal with like the fading stickers and all that.
Yes.
So that was kind of like a must have for us. At the time, having two bathrooms was also an option. It was a must have, actually not an option, but a must have.
Two full bathrooms.
Two full baths, yes.
Two full baths, two showers.
Oh, everywhere. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah. We'll get into that a little bit, but we at the time we thought that we needed that.
Right.
Changed a little bit.
And then it was the toy hauler. Because we had to bring the motorcycle with us. So those were the three things.
Oh, those are three big things. Absolutely. And then now that you've been in it too, are there things that you dislike about it that you wish you could change or maybe don't like as much as you thought you would?
Yeah. The bathroom being one. It's nice to have two toilets. But as far as the shower goes, all we use that space for is hanging extra clothes in. I like it's so small that when I tried to shower in it, the curtain just stuck to me.
Oh, yeah. That's no fun.
Yeah, so our son actually traveled with us for about, I don't know, 8 months or so when we first hit the road, and he would use that shower back there, but we have not used that shower since, so we probably would change that again. And then
the other thing with two bathrooms, that's two bathrooms to clean instead of one.
Yeah.
True. You know,
so, yeah.
And then do you have two gray tanks and two black tanks then, or does it all combine to one?
Two different ones.
Okay.
And then another thing that, you know, we were like super excited to have, like the sliding doors in the patio, which now we never use. The sliding doors are a piece of junk in our opinion. Like, they fall apart, the screws come out.
Right. And we're talking about the sliding doors that go out to the toy hauler patio part.
Yeah, to the toy hauler, yeah. So
what do you use then?
So we usually just stay outside, or the only time we really use our patio is if we're backed up to like water, like the ocean or a lake or a river. Otherwise, the dogs use it.
The dogs use it. All the dogs time. Love it, yeah. Because they can be on the patio and they don't have to be tied out. You know, we can put their bed out there, their water, and they're kind of free to come in and out as they want. So they love it. And that's pretty much even what the garage is for. It's that whole 12-foot of space is nothing but for the three dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice because I always... Every time I see a toy hauler with that rear patio, it's like, oh, I think I would be out there all the time.
That's what we thought. And then, but typically, you know, as a full timer, your view is a camper that's next to you. Yeah. So when you're sitting out there, you're just staring at the next camper. And we just rarely use it unless we're like I said, against water or something.
I think we've only used it to sit out maybe two or three times. And that was, backed up to either a river or our pond or something. Other than that, we don't ever sit out there.
And so because you said you have it down for the dogs and stuff, I was curious, do you find that you always have room, like a site that will allow you to put that down?
I'd say 80% of the time. Mm-hmm. We do run in and run to some RV parks that the sites are just too small for us to put the patio down. But we're planners, so when I'm booking my reservations, you know, months out, I am picking sites on purpose that are going to be long enough for us to fit in and have the patio door. Because the good thing about the patio door is it allows a lot of airflow through the RV. Because you've got that big open space. This patio doors are closed, but they all each have their own windows. So you get airflow coming through. When that big door is up, you can really tell a difference inside without that airflow.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. That's the one thing I'm not familiar with is the toy hauler. And every time, you know, we go to RV shows and look at it, because we have a motorcycle too. And we actually drive separate and I tow the motorcycle. And so we always think, wouldn't it be so nice to have, you know, the fifth wheel toy hauler that we can bring it with us? And I love the garage and the patio, and that's awesome. But it's good to talk to actually somebody. You're the first person that has had a toy hauler, so it's good to kind of pick your brains about it.
For sure.
And so what are three of your favorite RV accessories or must-haves? I love that you have so much experience, and I'm sure that, you know, your favorites have changed over the years, but what currently are some things that you would recommend people get when they're thinking about doing this RV life?
Well, for us, because the way our RV is designed, there's not a lot of entertainment space because just the way it's set up. So we bought a clam, and we love that, and that becomes our entertainment space. So
tell me about that.
So the clam is like an outdoor tent entertainment space. It's hard to explain, but it pops up, basically, and then it's a 12.5 by 12.5 foot tent. So here we are in our big 44-foot We spent all our time in a tent still. But, you know, we put the picnic table in the middle, and then we can set up tables. We actually have a ceiling fan in it, and we can set the TV up in there. Our mini fridge can go in there, and then we will entertain in there, and that's where we'll have people over to play cards, play Mexican Drain, which we're like totally addicted to right now. And
or like when, you know, we have a lot of potlucks. We've been traveling with a lot of friends, so it provides us a space if there's crappy weather or to avoid the bugs because you're inside that instead of sitting outside.
Yeah, like Jen said, that since we do have a 44-foot toy hauler, but since it is a toy hauler and we don't utilize the garage space, like entertainment space, we really live in like 32 feet of space.
Right.
Because the last 12 foot is garage and it's just for the dogs, basically. We don't have anything set up in there to entertain in because we haul the bike back there. So then we'd have to take it all out every travel day, find a place for it. So yeah. Not a lot of people do buy toy haulers without toys and then they turn that space into living space. So, but we just can't do that since we do have a motorcycle.
Right. Oh, that clam sounds like an ideal situation though, to give outdoor space, because a lot of people, you know, just same thing, either they don't have the toy hauler at all, so they don't have that extra entertaining space, or it's bad weather, they can't be outside underneath their awning, you know, maybe they have to put it in because of the wind or the rain or whatever. So how does that do for the wind and the rain? Is it
it does pretty good. We'll take it down if it's going to be like really nasty out, but it stakes all down and it does pretty good. All the sides zip up, zip down. We also utilize it as a garage for our e-bikes, so we don't have to have our e-bikes inside all the time, so that's nice. And we love that thing. We have entertained a lot in that clam.
We have.
Oh, good.
The thing with the clam is we got like the biggest one possible. But
yeah, there's different sizes.
There's different sizes. But, you know, the downside is like currently where we're at is you can't have anything on the grass. And our site's not big enough for the clam to be on. So.
No.
But
we're not here with friends right now anyway, so we wouldn't have a need to entertain anyway. So. Yeah.
So is that something that when you call and book ahead, do you ask about stuff like that or just kind of see what happens when you get there?
Well, we haven't had the clam very long, to be honest with you. We just got it in December, I think.
Yeah.
So I haven't even really factored that into booking, but I may have to.
Yeah, because it sounds like it's awesome. I would definitely want to be using that all the time too.
Pretty awesome. We've done some videos on it and we did a couple Facebook videos on it and they got like 300,000 views because people are like, what is that thing? So, but you see a lot of them in parks nowadays. If you pay attention, you'll see them pop up around RVs.
Oh, good. Awesome. And then, so what are some other things that you guys love?
Well, our power system that we have for RV, we really love. So we've got 900 watts of solar and then we've got a 3000 watt inverter and 4 lithium batteries. That allows us to do a little bit more boondocking, harvest hose, stuff like that. So, and we added that after the fact. So that's definitely one of our probably favorite accessories that we have.
Oh yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And so how long have you guys stayed out boondocking?
We actually, the longest we've done was a month on Key West. We just did that in February.
Yep.
The entire month of February. We were at a Navy base on Key West called Sigsby. And yep. Just dry camp for a whole month. It was great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We definitely need to get some solar and some more lithium. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes it nice. Especially for harvest hosts and stuff like that. You know, you still just, life goes on as normal. You know, you still watch TV at night, you do whatever you want and don't have to worry about it. It's pretty good.
Oh, great. And so is there another RV must-have?
For us, it was the sunscreens or the sunshades, depending on whatever you want to call them. Because we have 3 awnings. And so they attach to the awnings. And when you have them staked down and all attached, it kind of provides like more privacy. And then the sun's not just beaming, you know, through the windows on the RV. Because we have full body paint, but it's black and gray. So
it's a hot box.
It is a hot box.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned the full body paint too, because when we were looking for RVs, you know, we started in 2017 was our first. We bought a Jayco Pinnacle 40-foot fifth wheel, and we knew nothing about RVing. That was our very first RV. Never knew about full body paint until it started oxidizing. And then we're like, why isn't this shiny? You know, it looks so shiny when we first picked it up. And yeah, so never again will we have a RV that is not full body paint, because that makes a huge difference and they look so much nicer.
Oh, they definitely do. Yep, for sure.
You know, the only thing for people to remember is it does add weight.
Yeah, it does add a little bit of weight, and the cost is usually pretty significant.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think it's, well, the ones that we're looking at now, I think it's about $15,000 more, but you get what you pay for, I think. It looks so nice. And
the resale value will be much better, that's for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. But you're right with the attracting the sun. If it's black, you got to think about something like that, too.
Yeah, I think if we had to do it over again, we would have got a lighter color, full body paint, for sure.
Yeah, that's something to think about. I'm glad you guys brought that up. And so now that you guys are on the road for 3 years, what has been easier than you thought about doing this RV life full time?
Well, you know, we were planning during COVID. So that's when we were in our planning stages. And if, like I mentioned before, we're watching all the videos of YouTubers and everybody's complaining of how hard it was to get into RV parks. As you, I'm sure you're aware, COVID really sparked an RV revolution. Yeah. I mean, it just blew up. So that was our biggest fear is, oh my gosh, we're going to finally hit the road and we're not going to be able to get in any parks. And we have not had that problem at all. We rarely have any issues getting to parks. If we do, it's because it's the Florida Keys in the wintertime or something like that, where it's like high use because of the time of year or weather or whatever. But other than that, we really haven't had any issues.
Yeah, that's what we heard too. So we were RVing, like I said, in 2017 prior to COVID. And then we were actually in Florida, just going to be there for a couple months, and then we were going to hit the road. We were doing travel therapy at the time, and we were supposed to leave in March of 2020 to hit the road and go on our next contract to California. Well, obviously everything was put on hold, the country shut down, but then everybody started RVing, and that was the biggest talk, was nobody can get any reservations anymore, and we're like, what are we going to do? How are we ever going to travel again? And it was the biggest fear, and so far every single RVer that I've talked to has never had an issue. So I wonder if it was just a lot of, I don't know, talk and...
Yeah, and I think a lot of it was COVID really flared up over the winter when most full-time RVers are all concentrated in one area, whether it be Florida or Arizona or Southern California and Texas. You know, in the summertime, then we all just kind of spread out everywhere. So
that's true. That's probably exactly what happened then. And then has there been anything more difficult than you thought it would be since you've been doing the full-time RV life?
Yeah, so there's things that you don't realize until it happens, right? So healthcare is very difficult. You know, we're both retired, but our son is still underneath our plan in Alaska. So, like, our primary healthcare would be considered up in Alaska. Well, we're nowhere near there. So, I mean, like, we can go to the emergency room and stuff, but, like, if you would need a referral for something, you know, I'd have to call back to my PCM, who I haven't seen in the 3 years since we've been gone, and probably right. Even 4 years, because I worked in a doctor's office, so I wouldn't have needed to go for any reason. But that is one. And then, since we're both veterans, they have a traveling veteran program.
The VA does.
The VA does. Yep. But, and that's a struggle too. You know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, our VA currently is in Florida, but before that, mine was in Arizona. So, like, you have to get a hold of them and tell them that you need something. Well, if you're only someplace for 3 weeks, it takes a month to get a referral. So, that's the thing.
I mean, it's a challenge. We've been able to overcome it for the most part, but it's definitely a challenge. Probably our biggest challenge. Not only just for us, but our dogs.
But for the dogs.
Yeah.
Right.
They all take same special thing. Beds and food and...
That just happened, like, today. We were at a military treatment vet. We found one, and we got all three in today. So we're good for a year.
Oh, good. Isn't that such a relief? It's like a big weight off your shoulders. Because that's the same thing here. We're in Ohio. This isn't our regular vet, and he's ready for his annual. And I'm like, oh, do I do this now? Now that I'm not existing customer or, you know, patient, then are they even going to be able to get us in? And, oh, yeah, it's so stressful when you're traveling. But for the VA, I'm so glad you guys brought that up, because I wasn't aware of that. So my husband and I are in healthcare too. Does VA do virtual appointments at all or no?
Some of them. So a lot during COVID they did, obviously, but now the way it works, so like we had our in-person visits this year, because you got to be seen by them at least once a year to get all your refills. They give you like a whole year's worth, so every 90 days you can get your refills. But you're required to see them, you know, in person, they say, once a year. Well, they allow in-person 1 year, telemed the next, and then back to in-person. So
basically every other year.
So every other year. So
but they are starting to really scale back on that. Now that we're getting further and further away from COVID, it's getting less and less accepted, I guess.
I was medical, so I get it. Like, a lot of healthcare plans don't cover telemedicine. You know, they prefer, for whatever reason, they want people to be seen in person. But we haven't had really any problems with it.
No, like I said, we've always been able to overcome it. It's just a challenge.
Yep.
Right. And then what determines, you were saying, like, your VA, it was in Florida, and then I think, Jen, you said yours is Arizona. Like, what determines that?
So initially, both of our VAs were out of Alaska.
So when she says our VA, she means our primary care manager within the VA system.
Within the VA, yeah.
So as veterans in the VA system, we can go anywhere.
So, okay, that's what I thought. I was wondering about that. Okay.
Yeah, so, but our primary care manager has to be a specific doctor in a specific location. Like, ours is in Florida right now. If I need something, then I just have to reach out to them and say, hey, I'm going to be in Arizona at this address for these dates. I need an MRI for this. And then they have to put a referral in and have it sent there. It's a process.
Okay, so they can't do a referral. Like, if you were in Nevada, they can't do a referral for your face-to-face one year required?
No.
And that's the other thing, yeah. So you got to, your face-to-face, your annual exam has to be with that primary care manager. You know, we kind of found out that the hard way, because that's exactly what happened. First year on the road, you know, I was seen in, you know, in Alaska, then we left and I had a telemed one, and then I went to like schedule it and they were like, oh no, we need to see you in person. And I was like, well, I'm in Florida. I'm not flying back to Alaska for this. So they're like, all right, we're going to give you one more refill of your meds, but you need to transfer to Florida. And so they put the referral in, and then
and we knew that we were going to spend the next couple winters in Florida, so that's why we switched it to Florida. So that way we didn't have to worry about it for 2 or 3 years.
Oh, good. Yeah. As long as you can plan it, then you got plenty of time to plan that. But I'm glad you guys brought that up, because I was not aware that that happened like that, that they required you to actually see your primary.
Everything has to be pretty much routed through your primary care manager within the VA system.
And then the other problem is it depends on your rating. So Jason's rating is high enough where he can go to another VA very easily, like to a VA emergency room or something. I have a lower rating and I could not. So
she can only go for the certain items.
For certain items, you know,
it's,
so...
we could have like a 4-hour conversation on the VA system.
We're
going to
go down a rabbit hole on that one.
Right. And I'm so interested in this part of it, and I'm sure the other RVers aren't, but this is so cool to me.
I will say, if anybody that's a veteran that's out there listening to this right now and they've got questions, have them hit us up and we would be happy to answer any kind of questions that they have.
I love that. I'm so glad you guys said that. That's so nice of you, because I'm sure there are.
Yeah. And the best way to get a hold of us is through Instagram message or Facebook message, through our No Sticks, No Bricks pages.
Perfect. I love that. And so you said you like to boondock mostly. And then how do you find your boondocking spots? Like, do you use a certain app?
So I'm the planner. I'm the one that plans all of our different places that we go, or where we stay, I should say. I use Campendium a lot.
Yeah, I love that.
Familiar with that app. And then The Dirt, I've used that quite a few times. Now, being east of the Mississippi, it's a lot more difficult to boondock. So we haven't boondocked much. We pretty much stay within the Thousand Trail systems or military fam camps when we're east of the Mississippi. But when we get out west and you can really do a lot of boondocking, you know, I'll use Campendium or The Dirt or something like that.
Nice. And then you mentioned Harvest Host. You guys do that during travel days?
A lot, yeah. So we, you know, being retired, we're just not in a hurry anymore. So we never travel over 300 miles, or if it's any longer than 300 miles, then we're going to split it up with a Harvest Host. And that's how we do it.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah.
And we've stayed at some amazing Harvest Hosts, from llama farms to lavender farms to wineries to breweries to, oh my gosh, all kinds of crazy stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. What's been your favorite Harvest Host so far?
Ooh, I think, you know what's funny is it's probably the very first one we went to, which was called Tuscany Winery, and it's in Effingham, Illinois, and we're actually going to stay there again here in a couple months. And just a beautiful spot overlooking a field, and their wine was really good, and then you could walk to a Harley dealership, so it was just a really, really nice Harvest Host. But there's a ton of nice ones out there. We had the lavender farm that we were at in Washington was really nice too. Never been to a lavender farm before, so that was pretty cool.
And then we stayed at another winery, the one that had the concert.
Oh, that's right. What was that called? Summer Crush Vineyard in Florida is another amazing one. We have a video out on that. Our friends Harold and Cindy from One Strange Adventure did, I think, a whole video on Summer Crush. And yeah, that's a heck of, they actually have hooks hookups there, and you can get 50 amp, 30 amp. Of course, you got to pay for those, but you can boondog. They had concert there while we were there. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yep. That's so cool. One time we stayed at John Schneider Studio from Dukes of Hazzard.
I've heard of that.
It was so much fun. Oh my goodness. We were the only ones there. It was 100 acres. We had the place to ourselves. We did not see a soul. Like, we actually paid for full hookups, and we just did it like through PayPal, I think. They gave us a code to get in the gate, wow, and no one was around. It was so much fun. We got to walk in different buildings, and it was really fun. Yeah, so definitely need to look that one up. I think it was Holden, I think, is the city in Louisiana, but it was really fun. Highly recommend that. That was a blast.
Huge Dukes of Hazzard fan right here. So yeah, I would love to go see that one.
Oh, you got to check it out. It's so cool. I think they have 8 spots with full hookups too.
Wow, that's cool.
So you can go with your friends.
I remember seeing pictures on like on Instagram of it, and it looked like it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was super fun. And then when you guys plan, so since Jason, you do kind of the planning.
Yeah.
When you were saying that you drive about, you know, 300 miles a day, is that what you were saying?
Yeah, no more than 300. Typically less than that. It's usually between 200 and 300 miles. Mm-hmm. So.
Good. And then how often do you guys like to travel? Like, do you like to stay somewhere for at least a week, or just depends on where you're going?
It kind of depends on the year, to be honest with you. During the winter, when we're just kind of hunkered down in Florida or Arizona, we'll stay a little bit longer, maybe 3 weeks at the most, 3 weeks, because that's our Thousand Trails membership is 3 weeks.
Okay.
But when we're kind of moving around in the summertime, it's usually 2 weeks, maybe 10 days. Yep. And we start getting a little antsy. Depends on how much there is to explore in that area. Once we kind of get the lay of the land, then we're ready to move on to something different.
Oh, that's so good. That sounds like the dream. That is what we want to do, is be able to be in more control of our travel. So that's awesome. And how many states have you guys been in so far?
It would probably be easier to say how many we haven't. So kind of our rule of thumb is we have a map, like a lot of people do, that we mark off. But our map is only for this RV only.
Oh,
so
wow.
Just in this RV, I think we've got, what, maybe 5 states left?
Yeah, like 5 to 7, I think. Because, you know, the New England states are all kind of cramped up there together.
It's less than 10. I'd have to go look.
Oh my gosh, just with this RV.
Just with this RV, we've hit all 4 corners of the U.S., continental U.S., and then a lot of it in between. That's kind of what we're working on now. Like, we haven't hit up, like, Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas. We haven't camped in any of them yet.
We just got Kentucky, though.
We have, but not in this RV.
Right, yeah.
So, do you guys think you've been to all 50, like, total with different RVs and stuff?
West Virginia is on the list that we've never camped in. I know that for sure.
We've never camped in.
No, we've been there, but we didn't camp. Yeah, it's God, boy, I'd have to really sit down and look, but we're getting pretty thin.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
And the sad part is we want to go back because we haven't seen everything. Yeah. Like, there's so much to see in this country.
Oh, I know. And that's the best part, though, that you guys have already been to places that you can repeat. That's what we're so worried about. We have so many more things that we want to see, like, for the first time, but there's so many places that we want to see again. It's like, we don't have time for everything, but... Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's what takes a few years.
Yeah, for sure. And so what has been your top 5 favorite locations, if you can narrow it down? And I know it changes as you keep traveling and stuff, but if you could tell us what has been your top 5 favorite.
You'll have to come back next week to hear their top 5 favorites. You won't want to miss part 2 of this great conversation. Like I said earlier, if you follow them, you know they are hilarious. And if you don't follow them, be sure to go right now and follow them on Instagram and subscribe to their YouTube channel. They are so much fun, and you will love getting to know them better. I know I have. You will find all the links of what we discussed and their social media in our show notes and on our website at roamingyourhome.com/nosticksnobricks. Be sure to come back next week for part 2, then continue to come back each week because I have so many fun interviews coming up. You won't want to miss these great conversations filled with so many awesome tips and travel information. I learned so much, and I know you will too, so come back each week. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Row in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure. But until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.